Okay, we are in the middle of the Haftarah Parshas Vayera. The Haftarah is, for the most part, almost completely about Eretz Mitzrayim, although it's not the Egyptians who lived in the time of the Chumash, but rather the Egyptians who lived in the time of the prior to the Churban Bayis Rishayim. Last we learned was the pasuk that says that the land of Egypt would be Shemama, would be destroyed and desolate for 40 years. So we're up to the pasuk, I guess, v'nasati es eretz Mitzrayim shemama mutecha latzais neshamais v'areha b'sech orim macharavais tiyena shemama arbaim shana. We learned yesterday that Egypt would be desolate v'afitzais yes Mitzrayim v'agoyim v'zeirisim v'aratzais, and that the Mitzrim would be scattered among the nations for that period of time. Kichai Amar Hashem Elakim Miketz Arboim Shana. After the 40 years, Akabetzis Mitzrayim Eno Amim Ashna Faitzu Shama. The Egyptians will return home to where they were. And I mentioned to you from Rashi last time, the 40 years were a remaining 40 years from the dreams of Paroi, and they will be scattered for 40 years, and then Vishafti Yeshvus Mitzrayim. I will return the captives of Mitzrayim, Vashivaisi Oisam, and I will settle them Eretz Pasrois, to the area of Pasrois, on a map of Egypt. Today they think they know the area. Al Eretz Michurasam, in the land of their original dwelling. Vayusham Mamlocha Shvala. And this is what happened. The great Egyptian, dynasties are a thing of the past. Today, for the last, 2,000 or 3,000 years, Egypt has been a mamlocha shvala. It's been a kingdom of little consequence, despite being a gigantic country.
Egypt is. Egyptians there?
So I mentioned at the end on Tuesday that simply it seems to be the original Egyptians, but according to the Medrash that at Kriyas Yamsuf they were all destroyed. The Medrash should say that these are different people, biologically descendants, but that when they came there, they took on the culture of Egypt, and therefore they're considered to be a continuation of Egypt.
But it would only have been the army, the fighters. It still would have been.
Well, in the pasuk it says the fighters. There's a Medrash that when the fighters died, that in Egypt as well there was a destruction. So. Pasuk test, well, next pasuk, it's test of mine. Mina mamlochais tiyashvala. Among the nations it will be low. V'loisis nasei oid alagoyim. Will no longer rule over nations. V'matetim levilti redois bagoyim. And I will lower their influence so that they can no longer, control nations. V'loyia oid lebeis Yisrael lemiftach maskir ovain. They will no longer have treaties with the Jewish people, maskir ovain, which reminds us of the sin of Klal Yisrael, b'finoisam achareihem, by Jews drawing a bris with them, v'yadu k'ani Hashem alakim. Now that's really the main theme of the Haftarah.
But isn't that what they did wrong, by the Benjamin the Rishon, that they made a pact to?
Right, that's what we learned actually in the beginning of the Haftarah. Yeah, that's the main theme of this Haftarah is, the destruction of Egypt, because they were probably the most memorable expression earlier, was Mish'enes Kana Leves Yisrael. They drew a pact, they were Mish'enes Kana. The Klal Yisrael leaned on them and they were like a rod, like a reed. They didn't have the strength to support Klal Yisrael, and that is certainly the main theme, I guess, of the Nevuah of Mitzrayim. Now, it's interesting, the Torah says, L'vayisichrais imahem bris. Torah tells Klal Yisrael when they enter Eretz Yisrael not to make bris, not to make treaties. We find that Shlomo HaMelech made a treaty with Hiram, the king of Tsar, the king of Tyre, and Rishayim and Yevamis, I think it's Tafav Gimel, all question how he was allowed to make a bris. Torah says, L'sichres imam bris. So what's the first answer that comes to mind?
Is it the Shasakana?
No, on the contrary. He made a bris during peacetime. It was totally peacetime.
Was that part of
It was never a Sakana Shlomo's time. What?
Part of Eretz Yisrael. Sidon.
A tire is technically part of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not. Tosfos says in one Teretz that it's only the Shivas Amimin that you're not allowed to draw a treaty with, in which case you'd be allowed to draw a treaty with Egypt. The Mishnah Melech explains, I guess, in the Rambam, he says that there's no sin in making a treaty in peacetime. A treaty in peacetime is just an expression of friendship. It has nothing to do with expression of cooperation. Economically, they work together. Hiram, the king of Tsar, provided the wood for the Beis HaMikdash and for the palace of Shlomo. That type of treaty is more like today they have economic treaties between nations. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong getting along with the other nations. What's wrong is the treaties that were made for wartime, and they show a lack of faith in Rabbi Nishalayim, but it's a shtadlus. You can do a regular shtadlus. But it's really a silly shtadlus because none of the treaties, like I said, historically, no treaty really lasts. A nation only defends another nation if it's in its own self-interest. Nobody sends their soldiers out to fight a war because they're morally obligated to defend the other country. It just never happens. I mean, even one country, even if the United States owns the Philippines and there's an attack and they don't think they can defend them, then they won't. They'll let them fall, they'll let them surrender.
World War One, there was a lot of involvement because of prior treaties.
Was there really?
There was, yeah.
There really was? Did you read the history of World War One? It was a story of personal animosity between different leaders.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody got involved because of the treaty.
Kind of war, really.
What?
It was like a 19th century, the last 19th century.
It was the last great war. There were going to be no wars after World War One. It's fascinating to read the story of World War One, how the war began with a bunch of blunders and silly people, three cousins at the head of three governments who hated each other.
Intermarried one another.
They intermarried, so they were cousins.
Would they still have that case?
Why were they destroyed? They destroyed so many people.
The order of term is to go to war, is not
right,
to...
If they had a treaty, would they...
Of course. Nobody enters a treaty to help the other person. Everyone says a treaty, so they should help you. Nobody...
Right. But, I mean, a treaty theoretically obligates you...
Yeah, the treaties... Treaties have a poor world history. Sometimes they frighten people away. If the NATO has a treaty and Russia attacks one, the others will defend. It's because the others feel that it's in their self-interest to stand as one. So they'll do it. The treaty could mean something. But historically, treaties have had poor records of sustaining times of difficulty.
It wouldn't have been up to the leaders to make that decision. They would have had to ask the Urbitum anyway.
Yeah, to go to war, they would have to ask the Urbitum anyway. So. It's true. There's a Rabbi Chanan in Kovitz Mamorim, in the traditional print on page Kuf Lamed Vav. He has a kash on this haftarah. He says, Nimtza b'kosuv, ki Mitzrayim nensha. We find in the pasuk in Yecheskel that Egypt was destroyed. Yan ha'yosa mish'enes kona l'beis Yisrael. Because they entered a treaty with the Jewish people. Hainu shi'Yisrael samu b'tchaynam bam. The Jewish people put their faith in Egypt. V'tzarech lahavin. So Rabbi Chanan asks, V'tzarech lahavin. Ma'cha tosam shal Mitzrayim. Why should Mitzrayim be punished? Im Yisrael asu shalai kahagin, if the Jewish people did improper by entering into the treaty, why are they punished?
They're punished because they didn't come through.
So it's interesting. I would think that they're punished they didn't come true. And it's true that I would understand that. I think that the problem is that the pasuk doesn't mention they're not coming through. At least not in two. And two out of three complaints against them. Here it says, "Lo yayid lebeis Yisrael miftach maskir avayim b'fenayis amachreim b'yodu ki ani Hashem." It doesn't mention the failure to come through. And I don't know. He asked the question also, "B'shayla kizayis u'gam b'kosav b'chol ha'im Yisrael esar shvatim." When Hashem punishes the Egyptians in the Chumash, He punishes their gods first. Ma pishum shalahim Mitzrayim, and their vadim shalahim idaitam. What did these pieces of wood do wrong? They didn't choose to be idols. They're pieces of wood that were carved out. So tshuva lezu kiu echad mitmishpatei haTorah. It's one of the rules. Ve'alilim kolil yichaloifun dugmas mashnilu b'mishnah Sanhedrin. It says there that if a man has relations with an animal, that the animal is put to death. The animal didn't do anything wrong. Adam chata behima machata. If you shabal lo adam to kolal yada. So he says that Egypt is punished because that the color came through them. Very interesting. Yeah. Then he writes, I don't know the year this was written. Rabbi Chanan lived during World War I, during World War II. He writes, "Dava pella reinu be'isach reina." So it's an amazing thing we see recently, b'moki mechad in a certain country, asher kat yedua shal harbe milyainim. There was a group of millions, shahaisa mishenes kanali Israel, that were what the Jewish people relied on. Avra ubatla min ha'ilam bin laila. They disappeared from the world overnight. V'lenisha zecha mimenu kilu loy ha'isa. Davar shalo yuman ki yisupar. Incredible thing, he says. Elu akita esashi Yisrael batku behem avri min ha'ilam. U'meisim b'misa chatufa bilti normalis. What's he referring to? What do you think, Rabbi Shua?
It's a movement.
He says there were Jews who relied on something and disappeared overnight. So I don't know. I don't know if he's referring to the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Which you ask most people today, Austro-Hungarian Empire, which century was that? The 15th century. No one, very few people believed that in the early 1900s there was an Austro-Hungarian Empire controlled most of the world. There was most of Central Europe. There was no Poland. They had, but for the most part, that's I think what he means. They had benevolent leaders that the Jews relied on, would protect them. And you know, there was no Poland. Today, it's talking about the United States. Today, we all rely. Israel relies, and America relies, and Jews in America rely.
We don't have a benevolent leader.
Well, we have a benevolent leadership. And as Jewish history goes, Obama is actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody that's not oppressing the Jews, as Jewish history goes, is good. You know, we don't put our trust in him, that's for sure. But you know, so I don't know. But the way he writes it in a very strong lashon, so I either it refers to the Austro-Hungarian Empire. What?
Wait for Trump.
Yeah, I don't know. The only person that can make America disappear overnight is somebody like Trump. I mean, it should be an accident of history. If you look back historically, I you know, it's still hard to believe that it could happen. But hard to believe it could happen. That you know, the last czar of Russia, had a madman as his primary advisor, Rasputin. A madman, a person who was clinically insane and was a magician, played magic tricks, do you ever read they relate when he was assassinated? Now, it's gotta be fiction, but they relate how they shot him 10 times, he got up and ran, and they tried to kill him 100 times, they finally, you know, they threw him in the river, and tied him to a bunch of racks, and the next morning they came to check if he came up. He was a totally, but it's like a joke in history, that's what brought down the Tsar. And so I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But one thing we know is that you can't predict history. Rabbi Chanan asks elsewhere in the Kavitz Mamorim, he says the Ramban throughout Chumash, Bereishis, explains how Maisa Ove Simin Labanim. So he goes through Avraham and Yitzchak and the wells and Yaakov and going down to Mitzrayim, everything. He says the only thing he doesn't explain is the brothers in Yosef. He doesn't explain where that is Maisa Ove Simin Labanim. So he explains a piece of it, but he doesn't explain the whole episode of being accused to be spies and coming down to Mitzrayim. I was just thinking, world history is totally unpredictable. Totally unpredictable. The movement of nations in the world, and who's a world leader, who's not a world leader, the entire path of world history changes and changes very dramatically. Very dramatically. I mean, 1990s is not so long ago, and Russia was finished as a world power. Right. Who would think that there would be one dictator who comes up and they like him, and you know, so he's a dictator with their permission. But the world history is totally unpredictable. It could change all the time, overnight. There was an Austro-Hungarian Empire, and there was an Ottoman Empire, which nobody knows existed in the 1900s, and the Tsars barely we know about, except there were so many Jews in Russia, so we hear about it. So you're talking about, until about 100 years ago, there were these three great world powers, which just don't exist anymore, and they're gone. And you try to tell someone that Poland disappeared in 1794. There was no Poland until Wilson recreated it after World War One. There was no Poland, and maybe there was no Poland. And the land was there, the area was there, but there was no country. So that's perhaps the Maisa of a similar bottom. The Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim, and everything's confusing. They don't know where it's going, you know, and it goes in the direction that they never dreamt it would go. You know, I know at the end of the of every year, the magazines, they still have magazines, Newsweek, Time, these things still exist. So they used to always predict predictions for the coming year. They never had last year's predictions and how they fared. Because no one's going to write last year's predictions and how they fared. Like, who predicted that Trump is going to be the front runner for president a year later, or anything, you know, who predicted that the Chinese economy is going to be a meltdown? Nobody, you can't predict these things. So, anyway, the same thing. When Klal Yisrael entered into a treaty with Egypt, they were a world power, and soon they won that. Now, the last psukim give the historical timeline, Vayehi be'esrim v'sheva shana, berishin be'echad l'chaydish, the 27th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, in the beginning, the Barishin on Bechad L'Chaydish, in the first month, and the first day of the first month, Hayadvar Hashem Elai Leimar, God spoke to me saying, Ben Adam, and again, Yocheskel being called that title, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, I mentioned here in the past, his name was Nebuchadnezzar with a resh, sometimes it's written Nebuchadnezzar, and both names are interchanged. Hevid Eschelai Avayda Gedayla. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, took his army, and they did an Avayda Gedayla Tsar. Very interesting story with Tyre. Nebuchadnezzar was marching against Klal Yisrael. He went to Tyre, to Tsar. Actually, this is after he captured Klal Yisrael. This is the 27th year. It's about 8 years after. Yeah. And he came to Tyre, and they besieged Tyre at great personal cost. Their sieges involved the death of many, many people. The way you break a siege was to build a mound. You saw Masada, the great mound. So that is built with human blood, basically. Because human beings have to take they're no bulldozers. They have to take a pail of dirt at a time. And the enemy is on top of the wall shooting arrows at them. So it's a very expensive thing. They went, they besieged Tsar to capture it. And at the end of a long siege, there was a tidal wave. There was a flood that flooded and destroyed the city. So, Nebuchadnezzar Bel Behevet Eschelai Avayda Gedayla El Tsar, Karash Mukdach V'Kal Kasev Mutat. It's an expression of a long and fatiguing battle. All heads were, the hair was torn from the heads, and the shoulders were sore from the work. V'sachar Lai Hayalai U'Lechelai Mitzar. And at the end, he had no profit from it. So what he did after that, the Eretz Yisrael he had already captured. After that, in his great frustration, they marched down to Egypt to capture Mitzrayim. And there it will carry away its multitude of people, v'shalal shalala, and it will steal its spoils, u'bazaz biza, and it will plunder its booty, and that will be a reward for the army. The army, which had been frustrated elsewhere, took out their frustrations there. Pulasai asha avad ba'nasati lo yisaris Mitzrayim. And for the work he had done, they got Egypt. All right, this is all about Egypt. Last pasuk. It's the last pasuk in the Chumash, right?
Why did Egypt deserve this?
This is the whole Paftara was why they deserved it.
No, but after they came back after the 40 years, Hashem said, I'll bring them all back.
This is the destruction at the beginning of the 40 years.
Oh, this is the
beginning. He foretold the destruction, and then now this is when it took place. By Yaimahu, on that day, Atzmiach Keren Lebeis Yisrael, I will at that time raise up a horn of hope for the Klal Yisrael. And I'll give you the ability to open your mouth among them. In other words, I'll give Klai Yisrael a hope. V'yadu ki ani Hashem. What in the world is it referring to? At the end of the 40 years, why, what is it? So we look to Rashi. Rashi says, Lo shamati v'loi matzasi pirish mikrizeh mahi. Rashi did not attend the Haftarah class, obviously. he says, I don't know what this is referring to. Ma'ot Tzerach Tzemach Kenav Shal Yisrael b'mapolos Mitzrayim. Then they have to know the Mapolos Mitzrayim was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar, they went to Galus. And therefore, it was 40 years later that they came back. So it was 48 years into the Galus. The Galus would be 70 years. What is the 48 years? So there are two possibilities that are mentioned here. Either that at that time, Kairish was born. Kairish would ultimately rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He was born at that time. So that even though, like it says on Tisha B'Av, Mashiach is born. When he's born, you don't see him. But the seeds of the Yeshua took place at that time. Another shot is that it refers to Hanani Mishal Vazari, I believe, who came back and helped to build up the crown of Klal Yisrael, although that would not be at the end of the 40 years, that would be at the earlier part of the 40 years.
The Rashi at the end, he says, Yechezkel will see the utilization of the Nebuah of being Goyim.
I mean, he would live long enough.
He would live long enough.
So it's a happy ending to our story.
Yeah.